Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So we keep hearing in the news about the MERS virus. That's the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. Does this have you worried? I want to discuss the facts about MERS. Again, that's the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which is caused by a specific virus known as a coronavirus. Now, a coronavirus has been around for millions and millions of years, but this does seem to be a novel one, a new one. We're not really sure where it came from, but when I was doing some research for this segment, it turns out maybe it came from camels. See, some viruses are able to infect both humans and other animals, and when they mix together in a way they come from the camel, they get into some humans, they can kind of become a new type strain. And that's what happened here with this Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. Now, coronaviruses in general do infect humans, and it can spread from one human to the next. But it's not easy to do. The transmission from one person to the next is not as easy as, say, for the common cold, which is the rhinovirus, or maybe influenza, which causes the flu. It usually takes direct contact with the sick person. So that's good news right there. That's a fact, that coronaviruses don't easily spread person to person. It does take direct contact. You know, if someone sneezes and you get the saliva on you, and then you rub your nose or your eyes or your mouth or something like that, that can cause you then to contract this new novel coronavirus. It's been spotted now in about 18 different countries, and there are 538 confirmed cases and 145 deaths since 2012. That, of course, is worldwide, most of them coming out of the Middle East. What exactly does a coronavirus do to your body? Well, it is the second most common cause, next to rhinoviruses, of the common cold. About up to 30% of the cases of all common colds are coronaviruses. So again, this is a virus that's around. It comes around during the fall and winter months, just like you see the rhinovirus and the influenza virus, and it causes colds in most people. It can also cause flu-like symptoms or flu-like syndrome in kids and older people. One of the most common complaints when somebody does have the coronavirus, besides a fever, is going to be a very achy body. You know, that same feeling you get with influenza, the aches, the muscle aches, the joint aches, that can be really compounded quite significantly with the coronavirus. And it can cause respiratory distress, anywhere from mild, maybe to some moderate shortness of breath, all the way to very severe, to where your lungs can even fill up with fluid. And that's usually where the deaths come from, these severe respiratory type syndromes. So how is it getting to the United States? Because we now know we have three cases in the United States. Well, it comes because of travel. You know, that's one of the worry things about all these new viruses when they pop up. You know, 1,000 years ago, it stayed within a local environment because people were more local. Well, we travel all over the place now, right? And that's exactly how the virus has gotten over to the United States. It looks like we've even pinpointed down to the actual man that brought it from Saudi Arabia into the United States, into Orlando, Florida, on May 1st, 2014. That's how amazing we could be when we look at what we call the epidemiology of something, where it starts and how it spreads. In this case, it was a 44-year-old man from Saudi Arabia who flew to Florida May 1st, 2014. The other two confirmed cases came from workers who first saw this man in the emergency room. He actually got sick on the plane. Went into the airport hospital. From there, he was taken by ambulance to a local hospital, and it was in the emergency room. They really didn't know what was going on. They just thought maybe it was a regular flu or whatever. And the emergency room personnel, I'm not sure if it was nurses or doctors. I didn't get that far in my research, but the two people that got sick were in direct contact with this man who had the coronavirus, in this case, the one causing MERS. Why now? I get this question a lot. Well, why do these things pop up like this? So we know that this new virus started around 2012. We didn't really hear anything about it in 2013. All of a sudden, we hear a bunch about it in 2014. Why is that? Why does it seem to kind of hide a little bit and then pop back up? That is a great question. No one really knows that. Epidemiologists, immunologists, infectious disease specialists do a lot of research into why viruses kind of hibernate and then activate at certain times. So I don't really have an answer for that, but we do know it seems to be activating. It is spreading because of all the travel. And as I said, 538 confirmed cases worldwide of this new coronavirus. What are some of the signs you should watch out for? Well, any type of upper respiratory symptom this time of the year, wheezing, cough, it can even be anywhere from a dry cough to a wet cough. It may seem even like you just have bad allergies, which makes it really tough right now because it's a bad allergy season for people. But if you have bad allergies and you're taking allergy medications and they're just not getting worse, getting better, you might want to consider maybe this is infection with a coronavirus. If you have wheezing, uncontrollable cough episodes, and of course fevers, and then as I said, that those aches and pains can be quite significant with coronavirus. Now here's what I really want to get into. So how do we avoid it? How can we prevent infection with these kind of new viruses that pop up that have a significant mortality rate to them? Well, unfortunately, conventional medicine really doesn't have much to help. They do their best to try to develop the vaccines. That takes time. You have to have people that are sick. You got to be able to isolate the virus. That goes on and on. And it takes years to develop vaccines. And then don't even get me started on safe vaccines. That's a whole other different story. So conventional medicine, let me just run down a list of what they suggest. This is from the CDC. And everything I'm about to say, this is good stuff. But I find it kind of sad that this is the best that conventional medical wisdom can come up with. For instance, stress reduction. Yeah, you reduce stress, your immune system will be stronger. Okay, fine. I get that. I like that. I'll go with that. Make sure your environment is not too dry. The drier the environment, the better the coronavirus lives, and you tend to get cracks and stuff in the mucosal lining of your nasal cavity, your upper respiratory system. So a dry environment allows transmission to happen. Okay, fine. That's good. Be careful with items such as money, pens, keypads in public places. These, of course, are potential sources of infection. As a matter of fact, those things can be quite dirty, much more than, say, what you find in your bathroom, as a matter of fact. TV remotes, computer mouse can be very dirty. Okay, good. I like that, too. Take precaution when flying on commercial airplanes. They don't really tell us what to do there. Just take precautions. I don't know. Is that a mask if you're really worried? Maybe so. If somebody in your household is sick, use separate items, separate hand towels. Okay, good. I like that, too. Keep your feet warm. Cold feet cannot cause a viral infection, but they can undermine your defenses, your immune system, basically. Okay, getting a little wishy-washy here, CDC. Keep your nasal passages clear. Okay, simple enough, but maybe not so easy for some people during allergy season. And then lastly, never put your hands in your eyes or your nose. Really? Is that what all the great minds at the CDC are going to conclude with? Don't touch your face. Do you know how impossible that is? You know how many times in one day you touch your face? Hundreds, if not thousands. I don't know. I mean, I've seen different numbers, but you're constantly touching your nose, your eyes, and your mouth. So this is the best that conventional wisdom can give us. This is it right here. Well, I got some other things for you. I'm going to suggest some supplements that I think are very important to stop these types of viruses. Number one, make sure you have optimal vitamin D levels. I want your levels between 40 and 60. Number two, take the hormone DHEA. This hormone is important for all immune cells. The more DHEA you have in your system, start with about 50 milligrams a day. You can go up to about 100. To protect yourself, you're going to rev up your immune system. Number three is lactoferrin, a very important protein from mother's milk. Also stimulates all types of immune cells. And then lastly, reishi mushroom. Very powerful in activating a specific cell called a natural killer cell. That's really going to protect you from the viruses. Vitamin D, DHEA, lactoferrin, and reishi mushroom. Those are things you can do right now much better than this list that the CDC gave us. You could protect yourself. Check it out. This is Dr. Mike on Healthy Talk. Stay well.